1 hour left.
That's it?
Yeah.
Let's rock and roll, baby.
It's all good, right?
Yes, it is. Kings, Bucks tomorrow.
Yep.
That should be Antetokounmpo in the house.
Antetokounmpo, and he's playing in Portland tonight.
Yeah, so catching him on a back-to-back, that should be an interesting one. A young team, ninth place in the Eastern Conference, been playing better since Chris Middleton came out. Jabari Parker, ACL, out for the year. So I got to think of the kid's first name, but Brogdon.
He's playing good, isn't he?
Yeah, you kind of found him Malcolm, in the draft. Yeah. Malcolm, there you go. And this is Jason Kidd, got a team that's up and coming. They done real well 2 years ago, kind of fell off last year, and now this seems to be trending up again.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I want to see, and again, we had Coach Dave Yeager on earlier, and so he told us Malachi Richardson will not play tomorrow. I thought he would, but he's not. Yeah. And so that means, you know, again, more Scott Lobbies here, more Buddy Hield, and more George Papayannis. And I got to tell you, I thought Buddy, and we haven't really talked about him a lot, I was very, very impressed with how he played against San Antonio.
Yeah, I've been impressed with the fact, Grant, you and I had talked about it with, you know, shooting open shots for Buddy is one thing. He's going to knock them down. The kid can absolutely shoot. But then he had the turnovers, and all of a sudden he was putting the ball on the floor, and he was turning the basketball over. He seemed to starting to find the pace and the rhythm of the game. He's able to hit some floaters, some runners, get in the lane, knock down some shots. So, yeah, Buddy played particularly well. I like what I saw.
All right. Again, it's just a matter of these guys getting better each and every game. Show us a little something. You know, get a little bit better and see where we're at the end of 82 games heading into next year.
Well, you know what's going to be interesting is now this is kind of coaches had the same lineup here for a second. I think that some of these guys, you're going to get Darren and Buddy and Costa and Willie and Garrett Temple. Now you're able to bring Scal in if that's how you're bringing him in off the bench, Anthony Tolliver, Papayannis. So, you know, maybe we start to see some flow and rotation and guys getting even more comfortable, because I was really impressed with Papa G, the fact that he was able to come back with the type of talent he was playing against and put together two really good games. So now with a couple of days of practice, let's see what he does tomorrow.
All right, Dane, you're on with Grant and Doug. Hey, Dane.
I was just wondering, what's the chances of Darren Collison coming back? It just seems like he's a steady force, and if they lose him, they ain't going to have no point guard. And I mean, it just seems like it'd be real rough without somebody leading the show.
You know, it's going to be interesting because Darren has the choice to come back or not, obviously. And the one thing that you just mentioned, Dane, is when I think of Darren, that's the exact word, steady. He's just an absolute professional. He got off to a rocky start, which is the first time I've ever seen that out of him. But he's found his way back again and, you know, just knocking down the jump shot. So if you are going to draft a point guard, he's the type of guard that you want to have around him, somebody who's going to be positive and be able to teach. But those are the answers, Dane, that going into the offseason, the Kings are going to have to answer moving forward, because point guard is an area that they're going to probably draft, I would think, in one of those two picks in the first round.
Yeah, but I think if you go in with a rookie point guard without somebody like that solid, I mean, it just seems for a long season.
Even going to speculate on what the Kings are going to do, because it's way too early. But they understand that whomever they draft – this year with their first pick, assuming it is a point guard, Dave Yeager's been around the block, all right? He's not going to count on a one-and-done to come in and start and run an NBA team. Highly unlikely.
Yeah, you can't do that. You're going to have pair him with a vet. Whether it's Darren or not, I think, Dane, was kind of your question.
Right.
We can't answer that. But, yes, you are right. You draft a rookie, one-and-done, you're going to have to pair him with some type of veteran.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate your time.
Thank
you very much. Let's get to Debbie. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Question for you, kind of following up on the previous caller with, you know, keeping Darren. How many of the quote-unquote veterans that we currently have, because I know we have a lot of young talent, and a few years ago, that's what we had, a lot of young talent, and all the discussion was we need to get some veterans in here to help guide and mentor these young guys.
Great question.
So, How many of the veterans do you think they will try to keep to help bring these guys along and let them not be floundering?
It's a fabulous question. It's a great question. To me, a guy like Garrett Temple, I personally think that Kosta Koufos is good for this team. But, you know, again, I'm not running the team. But you make I'll tell you what I would not be surprised. And, again, this is just pure speculation, and it's coming out of left field, Debbie. It would not surprise me if the Kings end up with two picks in the top 10, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they, with their first pick, that they take, as Doug said, probably a point guard. Let's just assume that for sake of argument on the radio. Then okay. Take their second first-round pick, which will have a lot of value, with an existing player that's currently on the roster, and trade that to a team for a veteran player that can walk right in and start at a position you need. That would not surprise me.
That sounds good, and I do hope we keep Garrett. He is currently best favorite player on the team.
Yeah, they will keep Garrett.
Debbie, I'm thinking, as I look at it right now, Kosta Koufos, Garrett Temple, Anthony Tolliver, those are three names, Grant, that probably come to my mind as veterans. I don't know, but that would be around because they are absolutely solid.
And we all have them under contract already for next year, or are they free
agents? No, Darren Collison is a free agent. Garrett Temple and Kosta Koufos are under contract.
Okay. Oh,
what about Tolliver?
I think it's an option for him, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I'll double check on that.
To double check. Yeah, you got to pair them up. That's an interesting scenario that you pose, though, Grant, that you get what you need with the first pick, and that is a point guard. And then do you pair a veteran or somebody that you have that's a value with the second, and then do you get maybe you're thinking like a three-man that
right.
is a starter type of player that comes in as a veteran and a leader? That's something that you could do, definitely.
All right, again, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, with you right until the top of the hour. And tomorrow, Doug and I will be at Golden 1 Center getting ready for the Kings and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks, as we mentioned, are playing tonight in Portland, so the Kings will be catching them on a second night of a back-to-back.
And that is a good thing because you're talking about Milwaukee right now, Grant. They are trying to make that playoff push. So And where'd you say they were tonight?
In Portland. And the Portland Blazers are red hot.
Yeah, so that actually is a game you want to tune in and check out because it is going to be a dandy. I will be tuning into that one because you're going to want to see what Milwaukee does. But just from the standpoint of Portland trying to catch the Nuggets, right now they are a half game out, 33-37 Nuggets, 32-37 Blazers. So interesting ball game tonight and then the Kings tomorrow.
All right. Again, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, hope you were having yourself a very good evening. We've got Doug's favorite game, which is underway in L.A., the World Baseball Classic. Doug,
hey.
A huge fan of the United States going against Japan.
And who's pitching?
Tanner Roark from the Washington
Roark.
Nationals.
Yes, sir.
I know that, you know, you're – how come you don't have the game on?
Is it possible? Can I get it on my tablet or computer?
No, you can put it right on the TV in front of you, but I don't want you to be distracted
no.
while we're doing this show because I know how into the World Baseball Classic you
Come
are.
Come on,
and
we
I,
got
I,
two sets here. Come
I
on,
just
Grant.
I do
you
not
can...
want to be distracted.
Come on, turn it on. You
got
to.
Well, we got NBA on both.
And I know you're interested. You're just you're playing playing a little shy.
It's on TV, the game?
That I'm just going to turn my mic
no,
off.
No, is the TV, no. is it on TV?
I'm not sure, but
right.
I would think so, Grant.
Okay.
Come on, man. Right. It's a semifinals, for God's sake.
United States and Japan.
Yeah. Winner plays tomorrow against Puerto Rico.
All right, I'm going to try to find that for you while we go to the commercial break because I don't want you to be nervous as we go through the final 45 minutes of the show.
Well, it's 6:12, time for RC Country Hobbies, more than toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the family, 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, and again, we are back right after this. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, 45 minutes left. If you want to call the program, we welcome your phone calls, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You ready for some phone calls?
Holla at us.
Holla.
Let's do it.
All right, let's see if Mike can holler at us. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. You said that NCAA basketball was great, and I couldn't agree more. I love watching the tournament, and I love looking at players and seeing somebody I like. A few years ago, I saw a guy who's about 6'5", played for Minnesota, tore up my Bruins. Checked the paper the next morning. He was only 6'1". His name was Bobby Jackson.
Wow. How about that, huh?
I thought, no way that guy's 6'1". I mean, he's all over the rim.
Yep.
He's out-rebounding everybody we have. Another guy I liked was Nick Van Exel, and I called up the show and I talked to Jerry, and I said either Sam Cassell or Nick Van Exel will be there in the second round, and he corrected me and said that Cassell would be gone. So I said, well, then take Van Exel, and that was the year they took Bobby Hurley. And I'll stake my claim. I think Van Exel had a better career than Bobby Hurley.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, come on. Bobby was in that tragic accident his rookie year.
I know.
Nick Van Exel probably still would have been better than Bobby, but, you know, Bobby's lucky that, you know, he lived, and we all know the story, but that's not really a fair comparison.
Now, I saw a guy playing over the weekend for SMU, a guy named Semi Ojeleye, and he's about 6'7", and he's muscles from head to toe. Jumps out of the gym and hits 42% from three-point range. So he's one of my dark horses this year. He's about slated to go about 25. And so a couple of years from now, if he has a good career, I'll give you a call back and say, hey, remember I pointed that guy out? I think he's pretty good.
Mike, don't wait a couple years. Just holler at us when you need to, man.
Well, I'll take Grant's suggestion of always letting a rookie have 3 years. Heck, I'm going to call you more than every couple of years. This is an exciting time of the year, especially since my Bruins have a chance to do something this year. Let's hope.
Did you go to UCLA?
I was there for 6 years, and we never lost the national championship when I was there.
No kidding? Wow.
Well, I saw Alcindor's junior and senior season, and then the next two teams had Sidney Wicks, Curtis Rose, Steve Patterson, and Mike Bibby's dad, Henry Bibby.
Wow.
And then I saw Walton's sophomore and junior seasons. He did not win it as a senior. And I used to play intramural ball, and we'd pack up our gym bag real slow and when the varsity guys were coming out. And I'll tell you, Sidney Wicks was the scariest man I've ever seen. 6'8", so muscular. And, you know, you'd sit there and go, oh, my Lord, that is a strong man.
No doubt.
Good stuff.
Mike, what were you doing for 6 years?
Undergrad, 4 years to get a bachelor's, got a master's my fifth year, and I taught as a teaching assistant my sixth year.
My man.
Good stuff, man.
Encyclopedia. Appreciate you.
You know how much student book of tickets cost me for 14 home games? This is going to kill you. $3.50, 25 cents a game.
Come on, man.
I swear to God.
That's awesome.
Best investment I ever made, and I bought one every single year. Oh, terrific.
Good stuff, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. How about that, huh?
25 cents a game? And saw some hellified basketball, boy. Did you hear the type of players he saw?
I know, right?
From Bibby's dad to Walton, Sidney Wicks.
Goodness. Isn't that great?
Gracious, yes.
That's good stuff, isn't it?
Great call, Mike. Appreciate you.
Yeah. All right. 339-1140. And again, 800-920-1140. I would give the score of the USA-Japan game, but for all of you driving home rushing to get to your televisions, I won't do that. I just will not do that. I will not allow myself to do that.
Come on, Grant.
No, I'm not doing it.
It's baseball.
I'm not doing it.
They'll understand.
I'm not giving the score. I don't think that's right.
Okay. Let them get home and see?
Let them get home and see. I mean, there's just no way I'm doing that. I just don't think that's right.
Tanner Rourke on the mound. Do it big, baby. Man
on
second.
Is it raining in L.A.?
Yes, it is.
Wow, it's raining hard in L.A.
Yeah, it never rains in Southern California. Tony.
That's why they should have had the game in Japan. I told you that. Because they play in most of their games in Japan are in domes. I was at the Tokyo Dome back in 2001. Were you on that team?
No, I didn't go. I didn't go to that.
We played. We opened up the China season in Minnesota against the in Tokyo. Two regular season games against the Timberwolves.
How'd
so you
like
had not
it?
Yet been traded, huh? No, I'm sure. I'm very serious
no,
about
no,
that.
No, China was before that.
No. China was after that. China was in 2004. We opened up the season in Minnesota in Tokyo in 2001.
I don't know where the hell I was. I wasn't in Tokyo, though.
Now, we opened, seriously, the first two games of the year, I'll never forget this. You'll get a kick out of this. I had Gene Peterson, the longtime radio voice of the Houston Rockets. They had played, I believe, the Phoenix Suns in Tokyo the year before.
Okay.
And Gene was a guy that would complain about everything. All right, it could be 80 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, and he'd be complaining because, you know, The wind was 6 miles an hour instead of the reported 4 that he thought it was going to be. So that's how Gene was. Great announcer, but Gene complained about everything. So Gene Peterson, we're playing Houston in the preseason.
Okay.
He is telling me how awful it is that we have to go to Tokyo to open up the season to play Minnesota because it took the Rockets a month to feel good, blah, 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 right?
After
they got back to time change and everything
else.
Okay. He said, I'm telling you, it's going to kill you guys. So we had two games over in Tokyo to open up the season. Kings went 1-1, all right?
Okay.
We flew home after the game, and we had a couple days off before we played our next game. The Kings proceeded to win 9 games in a row to go 10-1. The week after that, we were playing Houston. I said, hey, Gene, I go, you were absolutely right, boy. That trip just killed us. We only won 9 in a row. I thought we might win 15 in a row, but we only came home and won 9 in a row. That's a great prediction right there, Gene. I don't know how you guys did that. It just killed us. And, you know, we couldn't get back on track for 3 or 4 weeks. I go, yeah, Gene, 9 in a row after we got home from Minnesota. We started this season 10-1.
Gotta like that, man.
Yeah.
How was Japan?
It's spectacular.
Really?
Oh, plus I was with Taro Arai, the owner from Makuni's, who was taking us around.
Oh, yeah. So you had first class treatment.
Oh, let me tell you something.
Big time.
Let me tell you something. And, of course, you know, me being, you know, Taro would eat literally like, you know, worms off the countertop, all right? We walk into a chicken bar, and it's nothing but chicken parts. And I mean every single part that you can think of a chicken is in this chicken bar. Every part. And Taro walks in there, every part. Like, they don't waste and I go, Taro, let me tell you something right now. I'm not eating. I don't care. You can eat whatever you want. I go, oh, come on. You got to come in here. I go, I'm walking in there, but I'm not eating anything. There's just no way in the world I'm eating anything. So I sat there and watched him and the others eat. I had a beer. I'm like, there's no way I'm eating there. So then the next night, we go into this vintage, authentic Japanese restaurant, and we go upstairs, and there's a table there. And, you know, you got to take your shoes off and you sit kind of Indian style on the floor with the table above you, right?
Okay.
And all of a sudden, he goes, you see this fish right there? I go, yeah. He goes, if they don't prepare that fish the right way, it will kill everyone at the table.
Oh, blowfish.
Yeah. And I said, you're kidding me, right? He goes, no. He goes, but don't worry. There's never a problem they don't die from. And I go, wait a minute. I go, can you back that up again? Can you talk about the first part of that story? He goes, yeah. You know, he goes, if they don't prepare this fish right, it will kill you. I go, it will make you sick, right? He goes, no, it will kill you. I'm like, okay, so here's the first portion that comes to me, right? I go, hey, Taro, I go, let me tell you something right now, all right? Like, I'm really not hungry anymore. Like, this is me being in Tokyo with Taro. Like, everywhere we went, yeah, I'm not really that hungry.
You didn't eat anything.
I lost a couple pounds over there.
I bet.
But no, you know, and then we went to the best thing I ever did. We went to the famous fish market over there. We got there at like 3 a.m, and it was one of the most spectacular.
Japanese time?
Yeah.
3 a.m?
Oh, it was phenomenal. It was probably the most amazing experience I've ever had in a foreign country was going to the fish market in Tokyo. And I'm not kidding you. It was absolutely eye-opening, spectacular. It's one of the great things I've ever done.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I got to get to that. That's one on my bucket
list. Yeah, you
got
to do it.
Got to get to Japan.
Make sure you fly a international carrier. Don't fly United or Delta or American. You know, treat yourself and go on a real airline.
What's the best one to go to Japan?
You know, I mean, you can fly, you not being a coach guy, you can fly Japan Airlines, you can fly NAA, which has very good business and first class.
What's the best one?
Well, you know what? You going business or are you going first class?
I'm going.
You're going first class.
There you go.
Go on Japan Airlines. Go on their Dreamliner 787. You'll like it. It's phenomenal.
You just have a little bit too much aviation knowledge.
No, I'm just telling you. That's what you're asking me what you should do. You should go on that. If you go into Tokyo.
Well, that's where I plan on going.
All right.
Japan Airlines.
What I would do personally, if it were me, and I really mean this, I would fly from San Francisco to Dubai. It's 16 hours on Emirates.
How do we always get back to this?
And then you take a shower at their beautiful lounge, which is spectacular in Dubai. It's unbelievable. And then, you know, you're refreshed. You're good to go. You could take a shower on their plane, but
on the
Oh, yeah. They have a shower on the plane. Shower suite. So
hot water?
No, it's cold. Duh. Of course it's hot water.
Well, I don't know, man. I've never seen a shower on a plane.
That's why I said go treat yourself, fly to Dubai, and then make a connection and then go to Tokyo right from there. It's a little bit longer. You know, instead of like 10 and a half hours, it'd be like 22 hours, but it's worth it.
Okay.
All right. 30 minutes left here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Troy. Hello, Troy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Grant. How are you?
Good, Troy. What's up?
Hey, I wanted to chime in on this little trip ordeal you were talking about. I remember you were saying on the radio not too long ago that a friend of you gave you some first-class tickets, and I think you were saying you're riding on an Airbus A380.
Yeah, we didn't get first class. We went business class, but, yeah, it was a phenomenal ride.
So I promised my daughter a trip to Japan if she took 4 years of Japanese and got straight A's.
Oh, wow.
She did. And then we had this trip planned to Japan, but she changed her mind and wanted to go to Germany and Switzerland and stuff like that to see her sister over there. She's studying abroad. So when we started booking the airlines, I changed my flight to the A380, but I'm sitting on the top deck towards the back. They didn't have anything left but regular coach. But I was like, I got to get near the bar because I guess the bar is at the back of the plane or something.
Yeah, the lounge in business class is in the back, yeah. It depends what airline you're on.
It's going on...
Lufthansa?
French.
Oh, you're on Air France?
Air France.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was excited to get on the...
yeah, it's
Airbus
a great plane.
It's a huge plane.
It's the best. Yep. Thanks, Troy. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
All right, let's get to Len. Hello, Len.
Hey, how are you doing, Grant?
Good, Len. What's going on? What's up, Len?
Hey, doing pretty good. Hey, Doug, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Have you ever flew on the Concorde before they stopped flying?
I have not. I talked to Gary Gerald. He was, and Scott Pollard, believe it or not, to show you how spoiled the basketball players are at Kansas. When Scott Pollard was at Kansas, they played over in Europe and flew over there on the Concorde.
No way.
Yes, they did.
Wow.
Yes, they did.
What?
He and Ray LaFrance, you should hear the stories on the flight back. Yes.
Oh, I'm going to contact Scott because I want
right
to know the story.
Scott was, I don't know how Scott would fit on the Concorde, but yeah, he was on there with the Kansas basketball team.
Got you. My last question for you, Grant, is we had that 16 that stays over in the Delta, the what name those jets? They fly all over Northern California. You ever get a chance to fly up one of the trainers?
I have not. No.
Man, I can't think of their name. Can't remember what the name is, but they fly all the air shows. Good little team to watch. They're pretty amazing. I thought you'd get a kick out of that because I heard you talking about the B-17 bomber the other day.
Yeah, it was That was an amazing experience.
That is an amazing plane. My grandfather actually flew on that during World War II.
How about that? That's amazing. Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate it.
All right. See you. Bye.
All right. 339-1140. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, we've been talking a lot, you know, about resting and everything. I don't know if you heard what Steve Kerr said, but he said he'd be willing to cut his own salary if the NBA shortened the schedule. He said, quote, "I wouldn't be opposed to it, even at the expense to my own salary, but it's something that everyone would have to agree to. I think even just going down to 75 games, I think that would make a dramatic difference in schedule. Now, I don't see that happening because there is money at stake for everybody. I do think this can be remedied, though. Maybe not remedied, but I think it can be dramatically helped with what the league is already working on for next year and the consideration of geography when it comes to the schedule."
You know, it would be interesting to get Steve or somebody, I guess Steve, because he's speaking on it, to hear, Grant, what are your biggest concerns? When you say from 82 to, what do you say, 75? That's right. That's seven games. So what are your concerns that you're feeling? What are the numbers? What are all of these numbers of stats that you're getting that make you so concerned? Or is it just a feeling, a vibe you have with your team? What is it that makes you feel this way?
I actually think it's going to be worse for the league because your road trips are going to be longer, because your games are going to be more spread out. So when you're on the road, instead of going on the road, playing, and coming home, you're going to be on the road and on the road. And I got to tell you, my own opinion, I think being on the road for a long period of time wears you down more.
Oh, it's tough.
Do you agree with me on that?
And
I personally, I'd rather play the games. Now, I'm not a player. I'm speaking from a broadcaster's perspective, but I talk to the guys.
Yeah.
I think the teams would rather go on the road, get the games in, and get back as soon as possible. Under this formula, the games are going to be more spread out. So when you go to the East Coast, let's say, to play five or six games, you're going to be gone over 2 weeks. That's crazy.
And we've you traveled, so you know we've been on a couple of those trips, 14 days, 12 days, and it's just—
They wear you down.
They are monstrous, man. You go in hotels, and you wake up in the middle of the night, and you don't even know where you're at sometimes. It's tough.
All right, let's get to Mo. Hello, Mo. Hello, Mo.
Yo, Mo. Fo.
Mo's hanging out with Larry and Curly. Kiko, what's going on, Kiko?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
Had a question about the Kings. Whenever I call in, I preface it that I'm a basketball idiot, so bear with me. But is the reason why they get up on these teams early, only to lose by double digits or what have you? Now, I know they played some good teams, but is that more of the opposition's defense figuring them out as they go, or the opposition's offense figuring out the Kings' defense as they go?
Kiko, I'd probably say a little bit of both. And if you look at it, let's just take San Antonio, for instance. They did what they did to San Antonio twice. They came out and they jumped all over them. And then they what I call Wayne. San Antonio's defense begin to tighten up, to get more aggressive, to get after it. But also at the same time, there was a veteran leadership that began to start scoring. So, the Kings, they come out, they're playing well, they're playing good, they're getting after it, they're knocking down shots. And as the game goes, that's where you learn, Kiko, to win basketball games. There's that tipping point where Grant mentions it and Jerry mentions it on air a lot, where all of a sudden you can feel the momentum begin to swing, and the Kings have to learn how to stop that right there.
Is that just being too young then? I mean, it has nothing to do with somebody figuring it out as much as it is just being too young?
A little bit of youth, but at the same time, understanding how to win games. And I'll say, like, you got veterans, and Darren Collison's been around, and he knows how to win games. But how to win games with the particular team and the recipe that you have right now, and that's that team that's on the court. You got a guy like Scal, who was in the D-League for much of the season. Now he's up here, so now you're playing with someone new. The same for Papianis. He's just played in two games and really getting some minutes, and he's in there at valuable time. How do you win with these guys in those situations?
Gotcha. And on another note, you guys were talking earlier about the Raiders and ticket prices and what will happen in Vegas. I was just in Southern California, and one thing that I noticed is NFL is king because, as you know, the Spanos moved the Chargers to L.A., and because they're playing in Carson, they have half the number of seats, so they doubled the prices, and they're sold out. So, I mean, I kind of see, you know, talking about whether the Raiders fans make it to Vegas or not, NFL is king, and
we lost you, Kiko. Thanks for the call.
Wow. Half the seats, double the prices? That's true, Grant?
What, for the Chargers?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because it only seats 30,000.
Yeah, but still, do you double the prices?
I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, even raising them, wow, that's interesting.
Everything's supply and demand.
Yeah, this is true, but we saw last year, Grant, I mean, it was the Rams, but it was pretty empty down there. So unless they're going to be doing some winning, but we'll have to keep our eye on it. That's the Los Angeles Chargers that he's talking about? Okay. Weird as hell.
Right, because the Rams are playing at the Coliseum until the new stadium is built.
Okay, I got you. Okay, that's what the Carson – yeah, okay.
Right.
Just call them the Chargers. Take the L.A. off.
There you go. All right, if you want to call the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We've got one more segment left.
That's it. It's 6:43, time for RC Country Hobbies, more than toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the family, 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
All right, we'll come back and wrap it up. We do have time for your calls if you want. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, final segment, and we got a few phone calls to get to, so we'll do it at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. When we get to Mo. Mo is back. Hello, Mo.
Hey, I sorry about earlier. I tried calling, but for some reason
No problem, Mo.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in on the whole resting ordeal. Do you guys think do you think this is more of a recent trend? Because I know a couple seasons ago, I don't know if it was last year or two seasons ago, where the Spurs sat Tim Duncan, Ginobili and Parker, and then now it seems like every top team in the conference is, you know, resting their star players, especially for marquee games. I mean, do you, like, because I know, like, probably like 5 or 6 years ago, this probably wasn't even a thing. This wouldn't even been talked about. But, like, what do you think the mindset or, like the thinking process behind all that is? I mean, like, if you think 5 or 6 years ago they weren't doing it, why do you think they're doing it all of a sudden?
Well, I think that Coach Popovich kind of started it, and with his success and the Spurs' success, it's, you know, it's copycat, and people have started to copy it. At the same time, there are a lot of science has improved, so they're giving them measurables that say, and Grant can speak to this, that, you know, a guy is closer, what they call the quote-unquote red zone. He's in the red zone, and he is as close to getting injured as he can be because he's played this many minutes in this amount of time. So now it's right. Beginning to be something that you're seeing more and more, Mo.
Right. And then do you also think it's attributed to maybe last year the Warriors' finals collapse where they decided to go for 73 wins? And, like, some people were saying that they might have collapsed because they
but that's their choice, Mo. They could have, you know, not played. Instead of playing 35 minutes, they could have played them 32
minutes.
Yeah,
and I think that they were mentally tapped out as well. I think what they went through was an amazing ordeal because of the pressure right. on them and what they had to deal with to get that record.
Okay, gotcha. All right, thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you. That's a good question.
We'll
never really know.
Well, you go for 73 and 9, and I understand because you're that close. And, you know,
they were up 3-1 in the finals, and they lost.
Yeah. And
thanks to Draymond Green.
That's what that's what you're going with?
You really think Cleveland would have won down 3-1 in Golden State if Draymond Green had been on the floor? I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, we'll never know.
We'll never know, but I don't think so.
Okay, I'm just all I was asking, Grant, is that what you're going with?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question in my mind that series would have never made it back to Cleveland had Draymond Green not been suspended. I'm not defending Draymond Green. He deserved to be suspended, and I think that's the biggest issue facing the Warriors this year. I don't think you can count on Draymond Green. I think he's too unstable, as he's showed time and time again, where his actions on the court – He's not able to control himself.
Well, I will say this, Grant. Last night, he obviously learned because he jumped into that melee and he didn't take it to another level. He didn't throw a punch. He broke it up. He did get a technical, but it wasn't to the point that he's going to get thrown out.
I wouldn't say he's learned. I don't think that's a illustration that says, oh, he's learned. The reality is we'll find out when the biggest games are played in the spring, because that's when he'll be judged, not by what he does in March against the Oklahoma City when you're up by 25.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Stay in the game. I got you.
All right, 339-1140 if you want to get in. We got a minute or two left. A couple of scores to update you on. Brooke Lopez hit a game winner, and congratulations to them for playing hard. The Brooklyn Nets beat the Detroit Pistons 98-96. Chicago in overtime leading Toronto by 2. Miami rolling away from Phoenix, they'll host to the win. The Dallas Mavericks and the Golden State Warriors in Big D, 66-50, Golden State in third. Elsewhere, Memphis and New Orleans, 68-64, New Orleans with 9 minutes left in the fourth. A little bit later, Milwaukee, Portland, the Clippers, and the Lakers. Minnesota has just started their game with San Antonio. And, hey, congratulations to Omri Caspi.
Hey, hey.
For signing, and good for him. I'm happy for him.
Yes, the wet noodle lives, baby. That's what I called his jumper, as he would kind of flick it around.
You know what? I really am happy for him.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunate as it was for him, Grant, because he played in that first game, he played well. Because he's exactly what you need to pair beside those two big guys with the Pelicans. You need shooters. You need slashers. Yep. You need guys that are going to do all the little tiny things, and Omri is perfect for that.
All right, so tomorrow, Doug and I will be out at Golden One Center, 3 o'clock, and we'll be talking about this World Baseball Classic that's being played in the rain in Los Angeles.
Get home and see it. It's on Major League Baseball channel.
MLB Network.
Yes.
For those of you that are rushing home to watch this game in the rain, and we'll talk about the rest that will continue to be an ongoing story this week. We will also talk about the Sweet 16, which begins on Thursday. So we got a lot of things going on tomorrow. It's the Kings, which means Giannis Antetokounmpo is in the house. The Kings and the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow.
Yeah, that's going to be some must-see when you talk about length on the basketball floor, a team in Milwaukee that is trying to make the Eastern Conference playoffs, and a team in the Kings that is growing daily before our very eyes. Unless something changes, we won't be seeing Malachi Richardson, as Coach Yeager told us earlier, that he will not be playing, as unfortunate as that is. But, I'm excited to see tomorrow. Bucks. Kings can't miss.
All right. So we got all of that going on tomorrow. And then, of course, the Kings and the Bucks game night at 6, pregame at 7, and all the action about 7:30. All right. Make it a good evening, everybody. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock as we'll be live from Golden 1 Center. For Doug Christie, Grant Napier saying thanks for listening to Sports 1140 KHTK.